This is tape number 7 of the Comprehensive Bible Study Course by Cecil DeSille. The title of this tape is Sons of God.
Praise the Lord and thank God for a beautiful session this morning. Very good spirit, and we hope for the same this afternoon. Praise the Lord. This morning we went from the place of does God have a plan for me, coming to finding out God does have a plan for each individual person, and that we were predestinated according to God's plan to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is where we're going. Because of this, we are above the angels. We were made a little lower than the angels, but were exalted through Jesus Christ to be above the angels. Now, to round that point off, to enter into sonship, let me draw on the board for you something here. Of course, what is he drawing on the board there? Is the two groups of beings that God made, and the deflections from God's image, from the angelic image that God made, and from the human image, fallen man, and divided into two, angelic men and demons. That is, God says, when you are, the brothers who are in the heavens are like the angels. Amen. And when John saw him, he was like a bright, wonderful angel. And some, we see them and they are terrible. They are becoming like the devil. So there are some like Jesus and some like the devil. And they were men at one time. And so we have the heavenly angels, God's angels, and we have fallen angels. From this fallen angel group, you have angels of deception who look like angels of light, and they are here also to deceive us. And then from the man point of view, you have ministers. This drawing should come from fallen man. You have ministers who are ministers pretending to be ministers of light, but they are really of darkness, but they have a pretense. And these are the things we have to fight against, and we have to deserve in the world. Now, having explained that, let me go on with the next drawing that I propose to put here. Now, let me go over what I was saying. Here, you remember what I said I was going to put on the board? Okay, well, let me go over this. I will pick up there. He said, does God have a plan for you? And that we are predestinated in Jesus Christ to be conformed to the image of God, and that we have been made better than angels, that we are to be exalted above the angels. And the Bible said we were made a little made, we were made a little lower than the angels. But in Jesus Christ, we are being exalted above all the angelic hosts. We see heaven as being divided into three sections. The first heaven, and the second heaven, and the third heaven. And the third heaven is where Paul went. And here we have redeemed men. And ministering angel. We have redeemed men and ministering angels. Now some of these angels and men, they work down here in the earth. Remember, you must ask all your questions afterwards. Keep your questions, we'll go in there. You must understand all this to understand the battle we fight, those who are working with us and those who are against us. In the third heaven where Paul went, there are redeemed men and ministering angels. You ask if there's any scripture that tells about three heavens. The scripture said the heaven of heavens, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. The scriptures definitely teach that there are in the invisible. Let me write this here for you. Believe I say that is the whole of heaven. This is the invisible realm. Is that right? So that's the invisible realm. And in this realm, then you have a second heaven where you have Lucifer was there, Gabriel here, Michael, plus many more gods, many more archangels and higher angels of higher bracket are there. And when you talk about higher bracket, the only way again I can explain an angel of a higher bracket to you is one that is on a higher frequency, greater power, more light. Now these angels absorb the light from God coming down out of the realms of light. They absorb this light. Between number one heaven and number two heaven, there is a cloud. Now, as to what it is, we don't know really. All we know, the Bible calls it a cloud, and it is a realm that insulates God, darkness. The Bible says God dwells in thick darkness.
Yes.
And you wonder, how could God dwell in thick darkness when God is all light? Yes. But God has to have some form of insulation between us and himself, and between his creatures and himself, because a terrible, terrible radiation of light would be too much for us or for any angel. Now, Lucifer, Mark, let's go back to what I'm saying. The radiation of God would be just too much for any of his angels. And it is impossible for one of them to go up there. But the peculiar part about it is that is where you are going to live. Yes, because only Jesus and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell up here in a powerful radiance that we cannot even think about. And when I explain to you that this God we are talking about is the person from whose own being comes the power that run all the suns, run all the moons, light up the earth and the whole, all the universes, which we can't even conceive, because these men down in San Diego, Mount Palma, they look out into space and they saw some galaxies many thousands of light years away from us that are so big, so large, that they came to the conclusion that space is eternal. God knew end or beginning. And that would blow your mind just to think of it. Amen. God has a reach out there. And this God we are talking about, the Bible said all things live, move,
yes,
consist, yes, and have their being in him. So that means that sun you see there, throwing heat and light that scorched you on the beaches down there, 90 odd million miles away from the earth, throwing a beam that scorches you, has to come into an atmosphere that stops it almost, and still burn you up there. The same God that has that sun burning for millions of years, and you know, brethren, if God had filled the sun with helium gas, that would burn out already. Come on now. That thing would have to burn out already. There's something feeding it. Something is feeding it with life, and it is God himself. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we mean, that every particle of life subsists in God, has its being in God. And then we were dealing with evil spirits this morning, and then you wonder, where then does an evil spirit get the power to do his thing? From God. How then God continues to give evil spirit power to do their thing, and they are hurting us so badly, and God loves us so much? Come on now. They don't get their power directly from God. They get it from you. Amen. When you think a bad thought, you give a devil the power to go and do a bad thing. Yes, sir. I have known devil worshippers, evil men that deal with devils. They use devils like you use messengers, sending them out to do their job. And I know this devil can't do anything unless that man sends it. Can you imagine that? And that devil is so powerful. I've seen him turn over a car. I see him go and collect money. I see him heal the sick. I see him kill with one blow. Man say you'll die at 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, bam, something hit the man, kill him, dead. Yeah. I've seen all that, and yet that devil can't do that. Couldn't do it by himself. A man had to give him the authority to do it. A dedicated man too. A man who had consecrated himself unto the devil. So if you will understand the principle under which we are working, you will begin to work absolutely for good, and do not admit one evil thought, because you do more damage with one evil thought than you can ever conceive. And let me tell you something. The devil wants you, Brother Richard, more than he wants 10 or 15 sinners. The more you climb up in God, the more the devil appreciates you. If you will just give him a piece of job now and then. Because you have more life than the sinner out there. And this is what he wants. He wants to suck life out of you. Why do you think the devil kills Christians? Why do you think that in every age and generation they find ways of persecuting Christians even unto death? Why do you think the devil torments Christians? Let people lie on them. Let people steal their goods. Let people oppress them. Why? Because when he oppresses you, he hopes to get you off. And when you get off, he sucks the life out of you. and you feel distraught and wretched. I've known Christians, a few of them, who commit suicide because devils suck their life and energy out, and they get despondent and lose all hope. Hallelujah. Devil overcome him, oppress him to death. So praise be to God. This, therefore, is the second realm of heaven. And this is the third. Now, you were in heaven, this heaven. Let's see if I can draw it. The earth was up here. The earth was up in the third heaven. Earth fell. Now the cigarette isn't speaking. We, earth and heaven, was one. God walked in the midst of the garden in the cool of the evening. Adam could say, "Hello, God." And God would answer him. There was no veil between God and man. Man was able to communicate directly with God. And then man fell, so the devil took charge of this realm and took it within his realm. Darkness. This is the realm of darkness. I am drawing a semicircle and the earth in the semicircle to the bottom of the board. The top of the board I drew three semicircles, the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. In the third heaven, I drew the earth in Eden, and I call it the Eden stage. We fell from Eden and fell right through into the realm of darkness. So right now, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That means the elements, he controls them down here. Why? Because we lost the battle with him and surrendered our kingdom to him. Okay, but even as Lucifer or Satan had the right to overcome us in battle, took advantage of us, even so, we have the right to fight back.
Amen.
To take it back from him. And so, God gave us the equalizer. You know they call the gun the equalizer.
Yeah.
You know they call a natural gun an equalizer. Because a little man can floor a big man with a little gun. Okay, God gave us the equalizer. And just as Jesus Christ, when he sent out the seven disciples, he said, he rejoiced greatly. And he said, "I see Satan like lightning fall from heaven."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know what he was talking about.
Glory.
Our soul is the heaven of God. God made humanity in order that he might dwell in humanity. He just didn't get around to that yet with Adam, before Adam fell. So you are made as a temple or a church building. And you are made to contain a spirit. Now this is why the devil takes something from you. Because you were made as a receptacle for a spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so we find that man having fallen, Satan took advantage of him. He got spirits, the devil got his spirits to rule over us. But God, because of this very reason, brought Jesus Christ and let loose his spirit. And his spirit will rule any spirit, will rule over anybody who submits himself to that spirit. That's Romans 6:16. So, if you apply Romans 6:16 and begin to submit to the Holy Spirit, to the Christ within you, then you begin to rise of this darkness. And in one drawing I call this the twilight zone. That's between the darkness and the light. The zone between the darkness and the light. I call this the twilight zone. See? And we begin to travel from the darkness into His marvelous light. To the twilight, and then we hit Eden. I want you to notice that Jesus demonstrated this, that at one stage in his ministry, he spoke to a fish. As a matter of fact, the very beginning of his ministry, right, when he was calling the brothers, the apostles, he said, cast the net over there. And all of a sudden they've been fishing all night in the same place and couldn't get anything. And he just said, Lord, talk into the deep and cast their net down. They did. And they got so much fish they couldn't contain. It means that Jesus did command those fish to go into that net. Because fish wasn't running that day. Another time he spoke to a fish to go down into some sunken ship and to pick up a coin. And the fish did it. He said, brother, you see, that's not in the Bible. Sure. You see, I read between the lines. If you're just reading the lines, you're in trouble. But I read between the lines. Because what happened is that Jesus couldn't make a coin or else it would be a counterfeit coin. If Jesus had commanded the spirits to make a coin, they would have to go find a proper coin someplace that somebody had lost and bring it to Jesus. They could not make a coin because it wouldn't be Caesar's money. Jesus deliberately said, this money is Caesar's money. And so we are rising up into the Eden realm. And from the Eden realm, we'll go up into the heavenly. And we are going where? Somebody quote me a scripture. Come on now. Quote me a scripture that we're going up into the first heaven. Alrighty.
Yes,
and
we're seated in heavenly
places
in Christ Jesus.
Say that again. Just quote it, didn't it?
Okay, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
All right. We're seated in heavenly places, but it's just, it could be any part of heaven.
Right under the Father, right?
Yeah.
It says Jesus is at the right of the Father. Yeah. Let's give them a shout.
But to him that overcomes, will I grant consistency in my throne.
That's why, yes.
It says, now and again that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's the presence of his glory.
Well, no, the presence of his glory can be right here.
Yeah.
Okay? It can be, yeah. What you think?
You mean the scripture that says, bringing many sons into glory?
Bringing many sons into glory is one, but it's where, you see, glory can be anywhere God is. But that the scripture you brought said we're going to be with him in the throne. That's one. Yes, let's get
another.
The two witnesses ascended up to the throne. That's one I was thinking of. But the other one I was thinking, yes? It turned to Ephesians 1. Let's see if I'm right. Okay? Ephesians 1. And in verse 21, that Jesus was raised far above all principality and power. and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then read verse 6 of chapter 2. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you see, it wasn't just the sitting together, but it was the two things. That Jesus is right up there with the Father, and that we will be up there with him. You see? And when I say up there, you know what up means in the Spirit. Not a geographical up, but in a high level frequency of God, that we will be right in the rulership, in the throne room, reigning and ruling with Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, I say all that just to bring you to an understanding, this drawing, how we are exalted above the angels. You see, because here you have angels. Bible speak of angels of great power, brought not arrayed in accusation against the devil. But Michael, when he contended with Satan, he said, the Lord rebuked you, Satan. You see, so you do understand then that our place in God is a highly exalted one. No, let's go on. We're going therefore into sonship, above the angels. Now, we went this morning into Matthew 1, where we see the generation of Jesus Christ. We went into Romans 8 and 29 to 30, 27 to 30, where we saw that God was bringing many sons unto glory. Now we want to show you a scripture which is saying that it is in the nature of God to multiply. Not only that you should multiply and replenish the earth, not only that the grass should grow abundantly, not only that you should bring forth fruit, spiritual fruit, that is the nature of God, but that you should bring forth after your own kind also. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he... chapter 15, verse 1. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if God begins to purge you, and you get hit from all sides, you should rejoice. That thank God, God trusts me. God believes in me. God thinks I can be it. Therefore I can. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Stay, abide, remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Do you remember this morning we began by saying, or last night we began by saying, every born again person is the manifestation of the Word of God. Okay, this we have in mind, so you see then that God himself does not is not the one that brings forth the fruit, but it's you. He is pushing the life through you, and you, your tender sprouts, will bring forth the fruit in the world. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. How long does it take a branch to wither? Some time, eh? And so, I see a lot of people who are continuing on with their thing, keeping church, that they are already cast off, but they are just going on confession. And ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8, is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Don't you understand what he's saying there? He's saying that it is the nature of God to bring forth fruit. Therefore, he's using you to bring forth his glory. You are his glory. Hallelujah. Father is glorified and you bring forth much fruit. Now, let's turn to John chapter 1. And we see somebody read for me verse 12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Alright, as many as received him. What is it to receive Jesus Christ? Do we call it by any other name? Born again, salvation, accept the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. So we all agree that this is what it's referring to here, as many as receive him. So then, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you're born again, you get power to become a son. Isn't that clearly saying that born again people are not sons of God?
Yes.
Yes?
This is the children.
Amen. Okay.
To become a children. It means he gives us the authority just even to become children.
And we heard of Rotherham said, children of God. Amen. Now, the point that we are trying at is that if you had to get an authority to become something, doesn't that say that you are not that thing?
Yes.
Until you use that authority.
Amen.
Amen. So then, you cannot say, when we preach sonship, we are preaching a certain point of maturity in God. Mm-hmm. So you have children, you have servantship, and you have sonship. In other words, you may be a child in God, and the Bible says, if you are a child, you are just like a servant. Let's run through that a little again in another scripture here. I think it's in Hebrews
4.
What Galatians 4 says, read that for me.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, Don't keep your Lord at all.
Verse 1.
Yes.
Galatians 4, verse 1. Read that again to me, the Son.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
Sure. He is predestined to rule the household, but at present he is no different from a servant. Praise the Lord. Now, there was another scripture that flashed here to me.
I'm going
to
read from Galatians 4:7 because it says something dealing with it. It says, we are already sons, but there are no more servants but a son. And if a son, then a higher God is Christ.
Then a what?
Heir.
Heir of God. Well, that doesn't explain. If you turn to Romans 8, and somebody read the 14th verse for me, it will explain the difference between sons and servants.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
All right. Read it in the converse.
For as many as are not the sons of God, they're not being led by the Spirit of God.
Many as are not led by the Spirit of God are not the sons of God. I mean, in the specific sense of the word sonship, if you understand what I mean, it doesn't mean that you're not a child of God. It doesn't mean you don't belong to God. But it means that you have not reached a point in your spiritual growth where God could trust you with his business. Because a son is not different in the household from the master of the household when he comes to it. He's given full authority in the house. So you can see that the word in that chapter 1, John 1, verse 12, the word there, power, is the word exousia, meaning authority. And I show you Jesus used a word power again, translated power. Look for me in Acts 1 and verse 7. Somebody read that for me. Where the word power is used again.
And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power.
Yes, read the next verse, please.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both.
Ye shall receive dunamis. And it is entirely different. I never forgot how God explained the Holy Ghost to me. I never knew there was a Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything about receiving the Holy Ghost. And I told God, if I could get the power that the one that Peter and John had when they went to the Gate Beautiful and said, what I have, I'm going to give you. I said, God, what did they have? Whatever it is they had, I want. And he showed me. And you know what he showed me? Three explosions. Saw an explosion down the lane. He said, that's the seventh. I saw another one. He said, that's the fourth. And the third one blew out of my feet, set to fly. He said, I'm there. So it was three experiences beginning with the coming of the dunam, the power, the Holy Ghost. And on the seventh, I began to talk in tongues. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that it was somehow. On the 14th, I went out and laid hand on a girl, and she was immediately healed, and I was conversing with a demon spirit in tongues, and I didn't know I was talking. I thought it was the people behind me talking. Turned around to rebuke them for making all this racket inside of my prayer meeting when I found out that the thing was coming out of my mouth. Amen. So you see, we are here talking about God giving you authority to become son. But when you become a son and you want to step out to the world, you have dunamis, you have explosive power, dynamite, you have something with force in it.
Hallelujah.
To do the job that is before you. See? So God never sent out anybody and he was defeated before him. No. Those people you see defeated, God never sent. So all you have to do is to make sure that God sends you. And that's another principle. While God has sent you, the way is going to open, the thing is going to be done. All you need to do is, you don't need to go and worry and to, put over the radio that anybody who feel like giving you should give you a $5 and you'll send him a brooch to put on his chest. I think that beat me. I was driving Sunday going home, the radio was on, and I started listening to a certain preacher who I respect. Or I respect the chest. And he preached a beautiful message on faith. Now, it is a shame that he should preach such a beautiful message of faith and do what he did after he had finished preaching about having faith. And the man walked in truth, you know, right down. And he gave me good thoughts on faith. And I feel blessed. And I didn't know who it was. And at the end, he said, this is so and so speaking to you. And now I want you to send $5 to me. And I will send you this message or send you a book for $5. If you will send me $5, an offering of $5, you will get so and so. It sounded so poor. And the messenger of faith. You know what I mean? It's like the faith, the message I preach is for you, not for me. I must get I must make sure I get the cash out of you. But you must have faith. Lots of shame if you need that. Now, look with me, carrying the thought you were carrying, to Hebrews 5. And Hebrews 5, I'm just giving you an idea of what the nature of a son is. Yes. The son is the person who obeys God. If you put all the other rules aside, all the other regulations aside, and you said, he that is led of the Spirit is a son of God, you can depend on him. But you can depend on the brethren. I'll give you a little story. We were in Jamaica. We carried down a few $1,000 with us to Jamaica. And we ran into all kinds of situations. And within a few weeks, the money was blown. We had no cash left. And we had visitors, and we ran up a bill of like $700. We didn't even know we had a mistake with our checking account. And we didn't know that we thought we had money spending where we were spending what we didn't have. And of course it was just all for food and it's necessary to food there. And when we found out the day that we had overspent, that we had We work seldom. We have no other means of getting money. We can't work in Jamaica. We were really feel, you know, a terrible feeling. What are we going to do? We respond to people, how are we going to make this issue? So we went inside and prayed to God. And say, God, now you sing. And I just, we went outside to the post office. And the most unlikely people, people who didn't have it, people who definitely didn't have it, they were in desperate situations. They said the Lord told them to take the money for their rent. $300 and send it to us. I mean, we just wept. We just wept. Because if we had a choice, we would have taken the money. But we didn't have the choice. God spoke to his people. Another day, we went out to the store. We had no money to buy the groceries for the day. And we went to the post office, and a boy, a young man from Michigan, sent $15. And $15 purchased what we wanted for the day. You know, I mean, I'm just saying this to give you an idea of what it is to be led. You can trust a person who is led on the Spirit. Because the Spirit will say a word to you, and you will do it. Many times, many of you here, sitting here, I look at you right, you have done the same thing, but you don't know what you do, what you did right. You understand? And to be led up the Spirit is one of the most marvelous things on earth. Because you never, never, never pass it by. If you are any place, a person comes to you, just remember, immediately pray for the person. And if there is a need, God's going to put it on your heart. Brother, if it's a dollar, God says a dollar, put a dollar in an envelope. If it's a prayer, and God says a prayer, pray the prayer and believe, and God will send you. This is how we become one. You see, brethren, what makes your head and your foot one? It's not because they have anything alive. It's not because they have anything that is alive.
What is that? The same blood that flows from your head flows to your foot and from your foot back to your head. And so, you find that in the body of Christ, there are people whom you don't know, and you don't have to know them. You only have to be one of the body of Christ everywhere, and let the Spirit flow between you and them. You and that last broke among them. I remember I see the letter for a man naturally. I don't know him that. But when I read the letter, something moved in me. Something moved in me. And I know that someday you will go that God will get to this. But I know the people want them to be with you that we never know that we have in the world. If ever you see burden, so much fun, your time prayer. Jesus, what is the burden for you? And God asks you to someone to send some help that you don't know, you never know, you never heard about. We had a man who was he lived in New York, and he was one night oppressed by a gentleman. I felt so badly that he died.
begin to fall, and he was on the bridge. And he was there fighting with this disguised person, all of a sudden, still appeared. And he just said, God, he got away from that. Well, he was climbing down from my house. He took one of those things that we're all about, and he reached Memphis, Tennessee. And at Memphis, Tennessee, he heard somebody speaking. He didn't just mean nobody. He just didn't know nobody. Nevertheless, he went to the desk. And two young ladies came right to him and crowned and said, "You are the point, Lord." He said, "Yes, but how do you know?" He said, "We were praying at 7:00. God came up with a telephone on the floor, and that you were about to come and see her. And he prayed that she were delivered. God tell us to come to hear what you do today as your pastor." It doesn't lie, no. So, the body of Christ really is one. And if we just keep that knowledge and that understanding, that still our body is so big that we can't know the whole of it. It's all over the world. But that we are nevertheless one with them. And I told you, we go to Hebrews 5 and 12 to 14. Here is a thought I want you to see. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now what we are dealing with now is these principles of the oracles of God that are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, have their senses. My, what are we talking about? Your spiritual senses, your spiritual emotions, your spiritual mind, that spiritual intellect that God puts in you, that gift of the Spirit that God gives you. Exercise. Yes.
Robinson says, organs of perception.
Yeah, organs of perception. Isn't that something? That means, well, I'll give you a rundown on that when I finish the verse. Exercise to deserve both good and evil. Now, as I tell you, some people's senses are exercised to discern evil. Yeah. And any devil can find another devil. Yeah. They say if you want to find a snake, if you hear a snake in your house and you can't find it, you go catch another snake, let him go, and you'll soon find a boat snake. It takes a snake to find a snake. Yeah. Well, praise God. Now, in the spirit, you do have five senses of discernment. Just in discernment alone, you have five senses by which you perceive spiritual things. The sense of sight, you see in the spirit. You hear in the spirit. You smell in the spirit. You taste in the spirit. You feel in the spirit. And now we go a little deeper into something that I hope you can take. There are some spirits that will come into this door, and some of you in 100 years would never discern. But there are others who will discern. Not because these other people are greater than you, but just that you are not exercised in the frequency. I don't know where is Greek means to explain this kind of thing. It could be something else besides frequency, but it's the vein on which that spirit comes in. In other words, let's see now. Someone has the gift of great discernment by discerning spirit by seeing. And you would see a spirit if you came in on that in that way that you should see. If he comes in on a vein that you couldn't see him but you could hear him, then those whose senses are sharpened in the hearing sense. I know I'm not making too much sense. But they would pick him up. It's just like a radio. And one man is on one frequency and you stand right beside him and you're not picking him up at all. The other radio blazing away, picking it up. And you say, What is the one you're on? What is it? He says, if you can't find it on your radio, call. This happened the other day with Rick and I. We were in there, and I was trying to find something on one radio here, and he had it playing there, and I couldn't find it at all. That radio just couldn't pick up that thing. So, this is the way it is with spirits. And they move on different veins. And there is a spirit that will move on a frequency that is equivalent to your smell. Now you won't ever smell a sound. Something will be raising a racket out there. And if you don't have ears, you don't hear. But you put on something burning on the fire there. And you pick it up with your smell, your ears would never pick it up, your eyes would never pick it up, your sense of feeling would never pick it up. You see what I'm talking about? So it is in the spirit that when the Bible talks about your senses exercise, it's so wonderful. You know what's wonderful about a church, a group of people? That everybody has a different way of moving in the spirit. And it's such a beauty to see people manifest in the spirit and complement one another. Like, I know a sister who a speaker comes and he starts to speak and she sees the speaker in some kind of light. It's either blue or white or pink or dark or something like that. And she knows that according to how she sees the person in the spirit, that is the order in which the person is moving. In truth. You have another person who has a discernment that as you step through the door, thou is served inside. That feeling. They are what you call real, their feelings are exercised in the spirit. And they will feel the spirit. Some people, their head starts like getting that side thing. It's probably right in your neck or body. The thing begins to affect you. You know it. You see. There's another person who wouldn't pick up anything at all. You'd be as dead as a doornail, and the devil is chomping all up and down this way. and you have a person who comes in and he speaks with you, just say how to do. And he knows whether you're of God or where you're moving and what line. And the wisdom. Then you see, you have some that move in wisdom in the church that tells you exactly what to do, how to move. But once people begin to move together, it is the most marvelous thing in the world. This is the reason why we should have a time when we get together, not with any program, no program. Let loose the Holy Ghost. Let everybody talk what they perception. Talk your dreams. Do you know you should come together and talk your dreams? Somebody give me a scripture for that.
Sons and
yes. Said, when the Holy Ghost falls, your sons and your daughters shall see vision, your old men shall see dreams. You know what I mean? Old and young alike are going to move in the spirit. We've got children 3 years in having visions in the spirit and correcting a whole church. With a vision. Don't deny, and this is the reason I don't believe children should not be meeting. I believe for a child to sit down in a 2-hour or 3-hour meeting is quite normal. This is a training that they will never get anywhere else. A child who will be trained to sit still for 2 or 3 hours and really enter into a meeting, that child will soon begin to bring vision, and their hearts are much purer than some of us. And God really speaks to them, and we need them, and they need to practice and exercise their senses in the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the God of my eyes. Pray to God I see within a very short time the women and the brothers, whoever God anoints, taking the children one evening at least every week, giving them a happy hour in the Lord and teaching them the symbolism which we all the people are learning in the scriptures. Yes. Why is this story in the Bible about David and Goliath? Tell them the whole story of David and Goliath. Let them draw it. Let them work on it. Let them fix it. And let them understand it. That David, in that sense, meant so and so. And Goliath meant so and so. And the stones, the 5 stones mean the ministry and so on. And it only took one to kill them. It gives them understanding word, and it really grows them up fast, and you'll have less trouble with them, and they are going to turn around and bless your house as you've never seen them before. This is why we come together. Outside of that, we lost again. Yes, we should have a vehicle, a bus or something, going around this neighborhood, picking up children, bringing them to some place. Well, we don't have a place, but we need to. Take them to some place and teach them the word of God, give them a happy time, let them go back home, let them like it, so that the mothers will be glad to get rid of the children, maybe on a Friday evening, maybe whatever evening, please never, one evening every week, for you to have them. And to give them the Bible, and then never again, ever, ever, ever again. Maybe. We never had that privilege. Some of our teachers, Baptists and Anglican, they did their best. And they made us study the Bible by heart, and that was a very good thing for me. And I knew a lot of the Bible by heart, just by studying it to compete in their different competitions. Bless the Lord. Amen. And so, you need to have your senses exercised. You know weightlifting. You start lifting weights. And as you lift the weight, more and more your muscles begin to grow. You find yourself eating more. You find yourself getting bigger. It's just a simple law. God. If you don't exercise what you have nothing. Yes, Lord.
Sometimes you hear about a brother's dog that he says saw a spirit because he was not acting normal. A bird that warned everyone that we're spirits. And so we get the idea that animals can see spirits. And I just like you to clear that, you know, about the senses. Do you believe that, and I don't personally, that animals can see spirits?
What should I tell him, brother?
What about Balaam?
Okay, thank you, sister. Sister Mae has come to my aid because I want to tell you how wrong you are, that they do see spirits. And they have, some animals have eyes with different frequencies from ours. You know that?
Yeah.
Yes, as I was talking this morning about the lion would see a thing at a swifter than we can see. Their eyes are in different frequencies. Well, Balaam's eye did see a spirit when Balaam couldn't see it himself. And so that let me loose, because I know in my own experience we have had dogs that have been running down spirits, and we see it ourselves, so we know the dog saw it before he was running it down. Yeah, if you see a spirit and you see a dog running it down, and you know he couldn't be running after this thing if he had not been seeing it, then you must know that he can't see it. And that's the simplest way I could explain to you that animals do see spirits. Yes?
We know in haunted houses that the dogs run out and know the hair standing up on the back. We know they've seen them. And how it was on. Probably
needed. Yes. Extra sensory perception. It's not question time. Could you hold it? If it's hot, let it loose. Okay, you wait. Mine, don't forget it now. Write it down. Okay. Oh man. Yeah, so let's finish up here. We go now to we're talking about the sons of God. So we see that sons of God are people who walk according to the Spirit. So if you see a person walking according to the flesh, no matter what he's preaching, he's not a son of God. The unfortunate thing about that is that people can't fall from their sonship, fall from their position, and begin to walk after the flesh. And the Bible says, those that are walking after the flesh are those that are minding the things of the flesh. Suppose, brother, I am involved in a great building program for God. Suppose I'm involved in a great building program for God, and I'm building a big $2 million church, and I have to go around begging money to keep this thing going, and I have to make certain plans and have concerts and, you know, bring in singing groups to boost my thoughts. Would you say that is of the spirit or of the flesh? Remember, it's a church I'm building. You see what I mean? It's a program of the flesh, because although I'm building a church, it's not the Holy Ghost that is building the church. And this is something we're going to be very careful about. It's not the spirit that is building the church, it is the flesh. So that which is of the spirit is that which is be led by the Spirit. And those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You lift up your eyes and look around. Constant. Constant. Hallelujah. Now, the next point is, let's read Hebrews. We have Hebrews 11, 1 John 3, 1, 2. Now we are the sons of God. Somebody read that for me.
1 John what?
3, 2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure.
Purifies himself, yes, even as God is pure. We know that when Jesus appears, we will be like him. We have an idea of what he's like. But as to the glory of it, we don't know much about it. So we know not what yet.
Would you explain the scripture in the light of what you've been talking? It says, beloved, now are we the sons.
Children.
It's children in the Greek.
Yeah.
Okay, but it does not yet appear what we shall be.
Yeah.
Could you expound on now are we sons and what we shall be?
Now are we little sons. But we don't know what the big son is like, but what we shall be. We know that we shall be like Jesus Christ. This word here is meaning little sons, as you well know. Little children. We are little sons, and we have not yet the understanding of what a big son really is. But we know one thing, one point we have, that we will be like Jesus with a glorified body. That's the simplest explanation I can give to you. Is that full enough, or it needs something? Put on the frosting. If it needs a little topping, put it on. Amen. So, we go to Hebrews 12. Is that where Tekna?
No, it's, yes, Tekna, it's not you.
Tekna. Yeah. 12:7, Hebrews 12:7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Praise God. This is a comfort. But if we be without chastisement, whereof are we partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That almost knocked me out. How could God have a bastard?
Yes.
How could God have an illegitimate child? Yeah, but God's wife went off and had a child with another person. Then you become God's illegitimate child. And this is what has happened. The church goes a-whoring with the world and bring forth many children that are calling themselves God's children, but they're really not born again of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's a thought for you. God bless you. We're going to rest here and ask you now to ask questions. Anything that wasn't explained properly?
Question.
Yes, you are first.
What is here in a group? You know, you were talking about, you know, like getting people together.
Yeah.
What if you're in a group of those? What if you're in a singing group? that
tours and sing.
Yeah, the church is doing that.
Well, okay, let's say that you are being paid.
Well, let's say you're not.
Okay. Let's say you are not. All right. And you are going around singing, and I tell you the truth, it's a certain level of ministry.
Yes.
If that satisfies your soul and your God inside, you just keep right on. Because I couldn't do that. You understand? Because I have this singing really to vanity. It's nothing but vanity. I remember we were in Alabama, and there was this young man who was the pianist in the singing group. And boy, he had such a beautiful voice. And so the nightclub said, I must go to him and have a talk with him. And I went to him and I said, look, do you know that there was a man named Sankey who sang for Moody, and Sankey would, God would give him 26 songs for the night, and Sankey would pray all night, and when he'd get up next day to sing, people just fell out before God, and they didn't, in those days, they didn't know anything about Holy Ghost. But he just starts singing and bring them down. People would weep for the altar and be saved. He never thought, he never gave them the altar call, you understand. And I said, I know anointed singing can really do something. And I said, why don't you take me up on this? He said, okay. Okay. You pray to God that tomorrow night when you come here and sing, people will be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost by just your singing. You pray that prayer before you come. Dedicate your voice to God. The guy did it. Next night he came in before service started. He jumped on the piano and he started to play and sing. And we couldn't stop the service because it had already started. People started coming to the altar. And people were filled with the Holy Ghost at night before service. I mean, we just went on. But this is the kind of story we talk about. So, that kind of singing is really a lot of what you call showmanship. You know, it beats me. I sit there over the radio and I hear a program coming. And this is the hour, so and so and so, and oh, this, that, the other, and somebody comes in and a song softly singing in the background, all practice.
Yeah.
How can it glorify God? It's been practiced. This is what you've been taught to do, you're an actor. See what I mean? Praise God.
Yes, I realize that each situation was different. But let's create a situation. We're having a service, a Sunday service, and in walks a devil. And this devil is recognized, you know, as coming into the service by a member. Can you share with us an experience that you have had and what you have done in that situation and what should be done in the situation?
Well, first thing, the gifts of the Spirit will so function that the person, the member who discerns the Spirit will begin to pray and bind it. And the rest of the members will pick up. We have seen sometimes the Lord so speak that we stop the service immediately, stop the message, and begin to pray. And rebuke and destroy the power of the enemy. Various things do happen. Sometimes the Lord hits the person who deserves it. And the person get up and begin to speak in tongues in the midst of a message. The messenger immediately knows that he must stop and give way to this person. and the person intervenes, the Spirit of God intervenes and rebukes and binds up that thing. You see. And it can be a word of prophecy. Somebody jumps and starts to speak. Somebody can be definitely told of God to get up, stop the meeting, and to rebuke that spirit. You see. So there is never any panic nor disruption in a meeting, because God is the one in control. The problem is when God is not in control and man is in control and he does what he thinks is right. See, once the meeting is under God, man, it just goes smoothly, and things happen that you never planned. You couldn't have imagined that would happen to the meeting, but it does happen. And God overcomes. See, so if it's a formula, no, that's a no. No formula how to deal with anything. But if there is a method that this group has to deal with church, the devil will beat you every time. For they know you have a method. This work right in with your method. Yeah, we know that. That's smart. Once you have a method, you have lost. You're doing anything. You have a method in casting out the devil, you lost. Just don't let me. We've been in a meeting in Texas one day. A woman came in, she had a spirit of alcoholism for 30 years. And you can imagine the attending spirit. Her whole face was distorted. And she came in, so she was brought in by her husband. And we wanted to have a meeting. We wanted to sing and clap and praise the Lord. God wanted to set her free. Amen. And we couldn't do it. We tried everything, we couldn't even sing. Finally we got wise. Woo! We said, something wrong here. This church wants to come. The woman came up, it didn't take a minute. Touched her, and a big ball of soul came up in her abdomen and rolled right up, and her neck got this side of the right through her mouth. The spirit was gone. She just screamed and started praising God. You don't, God will just have his way anytime. Once you are obedient, willing, God will intervene and have his way anytime. Praise God. Yeah. Well, I can give you another case, brother. A case, I know this is what you wanted, and it just came to me. We were having a meeting in Montego Bay one night. A man ran down off a hill screaming like the man out of the tomb. He landed through the door and jumped his full height in the middle of the service while I was giving the message. The brethren got all frightened, told him to take it easy, just calm down. And he swirled around with the chairs and everything and just swirled up and down. Had the whole place. They just keep quiet. He went on until he came nearby me, and he was passing by. He said, let me pray for you. And he stopped. He said, kneel down. He dropped on his knee. That was it. Lay hands on him, the spirit slayed him, and he got up crying and praising God and speaking in tongues. He was delivered. See, so that's the kind of thing. You don't plan it. You can't plan it. Yes.
A well-known minister say that they used to get together at the beginning of every meeting publicly and bind all the spirits in the place, and I think during the service.
And what about those that come in after the bind those?
Well, God told him one day, he tells his ministry, he says, when you guys quit worshiping the devil and start getting your hands on Jesus, then I'll start telling you the power. And he said that by sitting there before every service, Mary bows their heads and starts binding Satan and rebuking the devil, he said that they were worshiping Satan.
That paid too much attention.
Yeah. So after that, the minister said they just began
praising God.
Praising God, and they never had any more.
It died, doesn't God?
Because this would happen every meeting. Right at the same time, they'd start trying to start the meeting, and then there'd be all these heavy stuff.
Yeah.
So they'd start crying in spirit to get their eyes off the Lord. But God said, when you stop worshiping the devil, I'll start shutting up.
Well, there are some spirits too that they are so strong that they wouldn't leave your meeting unless your prayer reached a certain height, that the light gets too bright for them. But they are very strong spirits, and we have seen in the midst of our prayer, people are in there praising in the devil. They're not praising in the same spirit you are praying. But they are praising in the devil. And I've seen a case like that where God knocked this girl flat down on the ground. As he knocked her down, I saw a vision of a green stick broken into. And God spoke in an audible voice and said to me, I have broken him. And I rushed over to lay hands on her to bind the spirit. And she got out from under my hand like lightning. I did like this, and there was nothing, just through the door. I didn't have a chance to be bound, because she had, and when she rushed through the door, I saw the stick banded. So the devil had been broken, and she quickly healed the wound. Right, so you see, it is man that heals the wound of the devil. Yeah. Is there not a Christian? Yeah.
Could you just clear up the difference between a child and a son? Just to give us, are we sons now or are we children? Are we going to be sons? Are we sons now or what?
We are sons now if we walk in the Spirit. We are children if we're still drinking milk. You see, what amused me when I was reading that is that some ministers are milk drinkers. Mm-hmm. The Russians call them Malkans. They're milk drinkers. They keep feeding milk. And every message you hear is a milk message. Mm-hmm. And they believe this is what the people need. But the people need more than milk to survive.